Well, this is a busy Sunday, isn't it? We've had pageantry and acting, the story of Palm Sunday and the story of Passion Sunday. And it still is such an affecting story, isn't it? We only read it in its entirety once a year, but it still touches our hearts with what Jesus went through to bring about salvation. I'm not going to speak very long this morning because I want us just to dwell in that story that we just read. Mark's gospel, we believe, was the first gospel that was written. And so he has a few little details that some of the other gospels don't have. The young man who runs away without his clothes. And some people think that that was actually Mark that was there with the disciples because Mark became a protege of Peter. And so it makes a bit of sense that it was him that happened to. We also hear of Jesus' healing powers in his most awful moment on earth. Peter gives him extra work to do as he cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. And we're told the servant's name in another gospel. It was Malchus. So we figure maybe Malchus became a follower of Jesus through all that as well. We hear of another character called Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross. We've never heard of him before, and yet we're given the names of his sons. And so we figure he probably became a follower of Jesus too through all of these things that happened. And finally, we're given the story of the centurion who basically ends the gospel. Truly, this was the Son of God. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we have what became known as the Markan secret. Whenever Jesus was asked who he was, he never gives an answer. It's a secret that he doesn't want to tell people yet. And yet, the book ends with the secret being revealed that this is the Son of God. And this is the one who we're invited to worship to. I thought we'd look at the psalm that was one of the psalms that gave rise to Palm Sunday. It's Psalm 118. And some of the things that we say, like Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is from this particular psalm. So as we ponder this week all that Jesus did on the cross and, of course, next Sunday, the resurrection, it's a time for us to be thankful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. It's hard to give thanks sometimes, isn't it? Maybe we think we don't have anything to be thankful for, but this tells us on this particular Sunday, we can think of the one thing, and maybe it's the only thing you can think of in your life that you can be thankful for, that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Usually when we're thankful and we celebrate, it's because of something we've done. You know, maybe I've graduated, so they have a big party for me, or maybe it's just our birthdays. Somebody's birthday's coming up soon. And we celebrate it because it's about us. And that's wonderful. We've got good reasons to celebrate. But they're over pretty quickly. We're going to have the Junos tonight, the Canadian Music Awards. Anybody remember who won the Junos last year? I can't even remember. Well, I do remember who won the Best Actor this last year for the Oscar because it was just last week. But all those things are fleeting. All those kind of joyful things, which Yes, we should enjoy them because we're finite. So God's given us every good thing to enjoy. But when we give thanks to the Lord, it's for his everlasting love, the love that goes on forever and ever, that cost him not only his life, just dying, but also the brutality that happened before he died. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Save us, we beseech you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we beseech you, give us success. We come to God when we need to be saved. We come to God when we're happy and we can say, thank you. You are good, Lord. Your love endures forever. But we also come to God when we need to be saved. It might be just saved from a mishap. I went to a play last night with a friend, and we didn't have the exact location quite right. So we literally arrived as the play was starting, like right at 8 o'clock, through our own foolishness of having the wrong address. And just as we were pulling into where the play was being held, a car pulled out. And we went into the spot where we got a parking spot. And so we were able to make the play. And so we were sort of praying, oh, please, God, get us a parking spot. Help us to be able to get there quicker. And we just made it in time. And it was a very moving play about somebody who was a chaplain and the things that happened to her. So we felt blessed that the Lord was able to give us something. So we can pray to God. That's a minor thing. We can pray to God if we need a parking spot. We can also pray to God if we need food on the table. We can pray to God if we need help at school, at work, at getting along with somebody we just don't like. All of those things, please, God, save us and give us whatever looks like success in your eyes. And here's the part that the Jews at Jesus' triumphal entry would have known. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This was the Messiah that they were looking for from this psalm. This psalm would have been also said when the Maccabees got rid of the Romans, at least for a few years, and they liberated Jerusalem. That happened 130 years earlier. But now was the one that they really thought was going to get rid of the Romans for good. They'd seen all his miracles. They knew he was the Messiah, or at least they thought he was the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We can say that too. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord who has good plans for all of us, the Lord who wants to give us his patience, his kindness, his power in our life. Sorry, I'm just having, Lord, help my eye, please. So we can be part of that crowd that says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who is the Messiah, not the Messiah who was going to save the Jewish people from the Romans. He was going to save the entire world from the shackles of sin that we're all in, the bad habits and the things that weigh us down. He comes to liberate us all. Zechariah said, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey. So our king has come to us today. He's going to be with us this week as we look again at the Last Supper, as we look again at Good Friday, on Good Friday, and we read again some of these passages. And he will be with us as we rejoice next Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. So I invite you to to bless the name of the Lord, to be thankful, for he has come into each of our lives and brought us salvation. Amen.